Today, North Carolina takes on Duke in Durham, and if you think Auburn has had a weird season, consider the Tar Heels. When the season began, UNC football was ranked in the top 20, and they were picked by some to play in a BCS bowl game, but allegations of agent payoffs and academic fraud have led to the suspension of more than a dozen players, seven of whom missed the entire season. North Carolina Public Radio's Dave DeWitt has the story.
The first football game in Chapel Hill is usually just a pleasant diversion, something to tide fans over until Midnight Madness kicks off the basketball season. But this year was different. A highly ranked defense, a veteran quarterback, and a date with LSU in the kickoff classic had pushed Tar Heel hoops off the front pages. And then, at the height of anticipation, all that excitement evaporated in an instant.
To everyone who loves this university, I'm sorry about what I have to tell you. During the course of the joint investigation by the NCAA and the university into possible agent violations, we learned of a situation that includes possible academic misconduct involving a former undergraduate tutor and student athletes on the football team.
UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe delivered the bad news at a hastily called press conference just 6 days before the season opener. Sitting in his off-campus apartment, quarterback T.J. Yates watched that press conference on TV and wondered if his senior year was over before it even began.
You know, the players didn't know, the coaches didn't know, the guys that were even involved didn't even know until the last second whether or not they were getting on that bus to go to the game.
13 of them would not, including 8 starters on that heralded defense. Still, North Carolina made it a game against the Tigers, losing only when tight end Zach Pianalto couldn't haul in a last-second pass in the end zone. The next few weeks were a blur. Associate head coach John Blake resigned when it came to light he was deeply connected to an agent. Players were dismissed and suspended, while others were reinstated. Daily headlines in the local and national media turned it all into a public relations nightmare. Chancellor Holden Thorpe.
I think what has happened here is that the excitement of potentially being able to play pro football and the difficulties associated with balancing academic success and social success and time put into football was challenging for a group of young men, and we didn't pick up on the challenges that they were having soon enough.
Playing without most of their best players, Carolina lost again in week two. But then came a streak of 5 wins in 6 games, all leading up to a cool night in Tallahassee when luck turned North Carolina's way.
The snap, the kick, high enough, long enough, it's no good! Carolina wins! It is no good! And the stadium is stunned.
And with that missed kick by Florida State, the Tar Heels had somehow become bowl eligible. Moments later, head coach Butch Davis stood in the middle of the field, beaming with pride.
It just, you know, I mean, the resilience of these kids. I mean, you coach football because you love kids, and you coach them because you in good times and in tough times, and you love to see their will and their belief in each other to just stand up against all the odds and the adversity and hang in there, and they'll remember these things for the rest of their life. That's what college football and that's what college sports teaches kids. Butch, congratulations to you.
When the scandal broke, most people believed Davis's days were numbered. His associate head coach is at the center of the allegations involving agents, and a tutor Davis hired to help his own high school son was involved in the academic fraud. But Chancellor Thorpe says the actions taken by Davis, athletic director Dick Bedore, and himself have proven that academic reputation trumps football glory.
So with the three of us all having demonstrated our commitment to that, then there's absolutely no reason why you'd want to change the group of people that are doing that.
Davis may return next season, but senior T.J. Yates won't. Yates was lightly recruited coming out of high school and ended up starting for 4 seasons at quarterback. It's the last year, he says, he'll remember most.
You know, I challenge any other team in the country to go through what we went through as far as losing players, and then on top of that having injuries with the players we had left, and how we deal with it as a team and how we overcame everything, how we persevered throughout the season through the individual games with, you know, with all the challenges that we had that were put on us is, you know, I think it's something remarkable.
Yates' last game won't be in the Orange Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl. Most likely, he'll take his last college snap in the Meineke Car Care Bowl or the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. After a year like this, he'll take it. For Only a Game, I'm Dave DeWitt in Chapel Hill.
It's 19 minutes past the hour. The unsuccessful men's volleyball teams competing at the Asian Games in China did not lack for excuses. Coco Prisetyo, who plays for Indonesia, said, "The sunlight affected my performance." Does it seem odd to anyone else that a beach volleyball player was unprepared for sunlight? Members of the team from Yemen maintained that the Chinese cheerleaders dressed in bikinis, quote, had something to do with our losing the match. The problem, apparently, was that the cheerleaders, whom the Chinese press described as, quote, sexy, were simply too beautiful.
Distractions, like butterflies are buzzing around my head. When I'm alone, I think of you. And the life we'd lead if we could only be free from these distractions.